Will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? God, in this season of Thanksgiving, we truly do have so much to be thankful to you for. So God, as we live these days post-Thanksgiving, may that spirit remain with us in our hearts, in our lives, and in the ways that we share our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. This year is a little different. The timing of Advent is such that there's an extra Sunday of Advent, and so this year on the calendar, Thanksgiving Sunday has fallen after Thanksgiving, as where very often it's usually before Thanksgiving, and that bump is because of the Advent calendar with the church. For myself personally, I begin with thanks, knowing and seeing as the temperatures outside begin to drop, because of coats that were given away through Kids Coats, that there are 1,812 children who have coats as the temperatures drop, gloves, hats, scarves. I personally am thankful to be back in the United States on familiar ground and back into my familiar life. I'm thankful for the lessons that I learn every time that I go to Sierra Leone, because life for me is not familiar there. And when I'm there, I am reminded so much of how I take for granted my own familiar. Reminds me that also in so many ways I take for granted my thankfulness rather than continually expressing it and feeling it. I'm thankful for the model that I see in the lives of my friends in Sierra Leone of what it truly means to be thankful in all circumstances, because they continually live with the spirit of the presence of God in their hearts, feeling blessed each and every day when most of them don't even have the basics of everyday life. So those are just some of the ways that I'm feeling thankfulness in my own heart, to say nothing of thankfulness for this church family, thankfulness for my own family, and for a new family member that will arrive this coming Saturday. I hope that Thanksgiving, despite any kind of circumstances for you, was a day that will remind you always that you do also have so much to be thankful for, because we do. And yes, even if it has been a difficult year, we still have much to be thankful for. Will you watch with me a video that perhaps will help to remind us of the many things that we do have to be thankful for?
Today I lift my eyes to the heavens and count my blessings.
I think of all my needs that were met today.
The clothes on my back.
A place to lie down tonight.
Nothing miraculous or earth-shattering.
Just the small things that help keep me going day after day.
Thank you, God.
I have food on my table.
Health to get me through the day.
Good memories I've shared.
All the beauty that makes life special.
Thank you, God.
I'm blessed by what I can see and touch.
What I can feel in the moment.
But Lord, you transcend feelings and moments.
You sacrificed your life so that I could see beyond what's under my feet and over my head.
Thank you, God.
That kind of love keeps my heart free.
During seasons where peace is hard to come by.
Even when I can't see or touch a blessing.
I know I can close my eyes and say, thank you, God.
I've lost a lot this year. Things I worked hard for.
Dreams I was sure were gonna come true.
People I never wanted to say goodbye to.
I walked a hard path of trial.
And pain.
And despair.
But I never walked it alone.
Even now, I can say thank you, God.
Because no matter what is set before me,
dark valleys or green pastures,
goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life.
And when this life is over,
I'll dwell with you in your house forever.
So I just want to stop and tell you,
thank you, God.
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 Six years ago, a Giving Tuesday was begun by a social media site out of New York. Every Thanksgiving, we typically leave the Thanksgiving table and then rush into Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And the thinking by this social media site was to kind of bring things back around and to reconnect with Thanksgiving Day and reminding us of the thankfulness that we have and how then we ought to be sharing the fruits of that with others. And so I personally feel that the concept is very scriptural, because if we think about what it says in Scripture about faith, we are reminded that our faith is useless unless that faith is put into action. So it tells us that we have to see some fruits of the faith for it to be real faith. And so we need to see action that follows out of Thanksgiving Day, if indeed that Thanksgiving Day was to be something of true importance and true transformation. It's to be something other than just a day of feasting. So I'd like to suggest this year an idea for Giving Tuesday, and that's what they talk about as they talk about Giving Tuesday. They encourage everyone to give to some charity or cause as an expression of thanks in giving back. So I'd like to suggest this year a direction for us. I returned with a team from Sierra Leone just recently, and we were there to begin the first step of a process of building basically a technical school there in a village. And last week, if you had the opportunity to see my message, which was from Sierra Leone, if you missed it, you can catch it on our website. But I'd like to suggest, now that you have seen the faces of some of the children and the youth of that community, and that the intention is to build this school, this technical school, that will give those children, teach them a skill and also business skills, so that they can not only practice a skill to make money, but also create a business that could employ other people to really make a difference in that community there in Sierra Leone. So I'd like to suggest that on Giving Tuesday, you check out the website, carmelumc.org, or go to the Carmel UMC app, and consider your giving on that Tuesday to be to this project, TEA, Tayama Enterprise Academy. Today I'd like us to take a look then, since we are post-Thanksgiving, at the leftovers of Thanksgiving. And I'm not necessarily thinking of the physical food, but the spiritual pieces of thankfulness and giving that are called to be leftovers as a result of being thankful. So how do we push away from that Thanksgiving table, sharing all this thanks that we feel at that moment, and then allow it to continue in our lives throughout the days and weeks and months until next November 2018, when we pause again with thanks? And I think then we can ask ourselves this question: so how do we live lives of thanks living beyond just one day? How can those leftovers be an influence upon our lives beyond just the time that we sit at the table? Warren, our absolutely amazing custodian here at the church, shared with me this morning that he had worked years and years ago at a place, and he said, you know, it was really funny because throughout the year, there was just this spirit of grumbling and complaining and unhappiness. He said, but it just seemed like every year when Thanksgiving shifted in, that kind of the spirit and the mood changed just for a short period of time, you know, just during that period of Thanksgiving and Christmas. But, you know, go into the beginning of the new year, and what he saw was that spirit would go back to what it had been all year long. That's not truly thanks living. And I think that that's what we as Christians are called to rise above, that we are to celebrate thanksgiving throughout the year. Story of two old friends who bumped into one another. One of them was looking very forlorn and almost on the edge of tears, and his buddy asked him, "What has the world done to you, my old friend?" And the sad fellow said, "Well, let me tell you. 3 weeks ago, an uncle died, and he left me $40,000. That's a lot of money. "Yeah, but then 2 weeks ago, a cousin I never even knew died, and he left me $80,000 free and clear." "Sounds like you've been blessed." "Well, you don't understand. Last week, my great aunt passed away, and I inherited almost $250,000. "Why do you look so glum?" "This week, nothing." Seriously? How could he forget so quickly the blessings that had been poured into his life? How could he possibly not be filled with such amazing sense of thanksgiving? And I think what that story says to us truly is that, you know what, we've got a choice when it comes to our lives and to thankfulness. You know, I have to share with you, last week, as I was pondering this message a bit, and my week got away from me, and I didn't have an opportunity to go to the grocery store to get the stuff that I needed to cook for a Thanksgiving meal until Wednesday at noon. Yeah, I know, yuck. That's exactly how I felt. So I head to Kroger here down off Rangeline, and as I drive toward the parking lot, it looks so full, I think, well, maybe I should park across the street, but I decided to maneuver my way through, took a parking spot way in the back, which was fine because I thought, okay, that's good. I get extra steps. My Fitbit, I'm feeling pretty good about this one. Then I also had this little conversation in my head as I was going in. You know, I'm preaching and talking about thankfulness, no matter the circumstance. And I thought, you know, I'm going to work really hard going into this store and into this moment. And I'm going to go in there with such a sense of thankfulness that I can endure anything. And it was pretty, it was really, really very good, most of the store. You know, got through and, you know, people were pushing and that's okay. It didn't bother me. But then I got to the just the beginning of the baking goods aisle. Well, the baking goods aisle was like none other. There were people packed going both directions, and then every once in a while would be somebody trying to weave their way through, and you could just feel the tension in there. And so I stood in the line that tried to get in the line down the aisle. I stood behind a gentleman, and I just said to him, I said, boy, it looks like a lot of people are going to be baking this Thanksgiving. And he made some friendly comment back to me, and there was a young woman that was coming this way, and she jumped in, and she said, oh, it's not the baking goods. She said, it's the coffee that's at the other end of this aisle that's the draw. And so someone else jumped in, and we were kind of standing there trying to get our time to go in, and she was trying to get out. But we had this little conversation, and at the end, all of us exchanged, hey, happy Thanksgiving. Hope you have a great meal. And I thought, you know, knowing me, if I had entered that grocery store without a commitment in my mind, I'm making a choice to be thankful no matter what, I can be absolutely certain that that conversation would have never happened or gone that way. So when we talk about thankfulness, it really is about talking about making a choice and how we're going to live our lives. The next steps in the corridor, he knew that there might be guards that would be there to take him away to his execution. His bed was a hard, cold floor in a dank, cramped prison cell. Not an hour passed that he wasn't free from the chains that were a constant irritation to his limbs. Separated from friends, unjustly accused, and brutally treated. You know, if anyone ever had a right to complain, it was this man, languishing, almost forgotten, in a Roman prison. But instead of complaints, it was from his lips that came words of praise and thanksgiving. This man was the Apostle Paul, a man who had learned the meaning of thanksgiving even in the midst of adversity. And earlier, when he had been imprisoned in Rome, he had said, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now think of it. Always giving thanks for everything, every day, no matter the circumstances. For Paul, the Apostle Paul, thanksgiving was not just a once-a-year celebration, but it was a daily reality that changed him and made him the joyful person that he could be in absolutely every situation. And the Apostle Paul knew that the choice was his. The choice was his as to how he would navigate through the unwanted, unkind, painful circumstances that come into life. And I guess basically what Paul is saying to us is that every one of us can truly ruin Thanksgiving And we can also ruin the possibility that our hearts would ever be filled with thanksgiving and joy if we lose ourselves in the circumstances that surround us. Each and every one of us in our lives will have those mountaintop kinds of experiences, but we will also have those moments when we walk through the shadow of the valley of death. And we can, when we choose, during all those experiences, to be thankful. When I think about thankfulness, I think of the Leah of the Old Testament. Leah was the wife of Jacob. Jacob didn't love Leah. He had preferred to have married her younger sister, Rachel, but because it was proper that the older sister should be married first, her father kind of played a little game, so Leah was the one who married Jacob, to his chagrin. And Leah tried and tried to gain Jacob's love, and then she tried to gain his love by giving birth, and said so much as the names that she chose for their first three children. Her first son, Reuben, means behold a son. And according to some, behold my affliction. And the reason that she gave him that name, it says in Scripture in Genesis, the Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now there, my husband will love me. Well, the next child came with Simeon, and the relationship was still the same. And the name Simeon means heard. And Leah said in Scripture, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also. She was still hoping that her circumstances would change, but they didn't. Next came Levi, which means attached. Now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. Nothing in her circumstances changed of being married to a man who loved another woman and who was never going to change. So Leah was always hoping to triumph over that rejection and to gain the love of her husband, but it didn't work. Finally, it was after her fourth child that she made a choice, and she decided to put aside her disappointment and instead give thanks and praise to God. So she named her child Judah, which means thanks and praise to God. And that was the child that God chose as he narrowed the line through whom the Messiah would be born. What an amazing gift to her. Leah is a picture to all of us who struggle to find that love and acceptance in painful circumstances. With our eyes only on our predicament, we convince ourselves that there are solutions to our problems within our grasp, that they're not there. If we can only change those circumstances, we can make it happen. Leah's circumstance didn't change. What changed was her and her choice, how she began to look at her life and her experience, and she chose to become thankful and to praise God, and she was blessed. Being thankful in and through all circumstances is a choice, but we also need to know that thankfulness is a part of our discipleship. It's a part of us being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Two Sundays ago, we had a guest speaker, Anne Hanshue, and she talked to us about this kind of discipleship. And she said to us, you know, it's not enough that you just know the Bible stories. It's not enough that you just come and you sit and worship. What has to happen is that you have to be, as a disciple, absolutely transformed, continually being changed to be more like Jesus. And one of the things that we can know is that Jesus was always thankful. You know, we need to be careful when we deal with thankfulness, because when we choose to not be thankful, what happens to us often is we end up in this vicious circle. And this vicious circle looks like cynicism and pessimism and indifference. And it just continues to cycle, and it continues to drag us down. I don't know if any of you remember, and this is a long time ago, the Three Stooges. You know, weren't they just great at creating those kinds of vicious circles that they just got caught in, and things got worse and worse and worse? Well, maybe you remember the time that the Three Stooges pretended that they were plumbers, and there was a shower that needed to be fixed, and Curly went in there to fix the shower, and so there was this pipe that was leaking. So he put a new pipe on the end of the leaky pipe, and it was still leaking. So then he put on yet another new pipe and another new pipe, and just kept adding pieces of new pipe, but the things kept leaking until he finally was caught in a maze himself inside the shower. Their scenarios are always really funny, but I think that they point something out to us in life. Sometimes our efforts can feel just like that, especially when the pipes we use to fix are cynicism and pessimism and indifference. But instead, we're called to create a virtuous circle. And that's what God wants us to have and wants us to live. Thanksgiving only becomes thanksliving when the thanks for his vertical coming down grace is expressed as a horizontal reaching out. And I want to share that with you again. Thanksgiving becomes thanksliving when the thanks for his vertical grace come down is expressed as a horizontal grace that reaches out. Thanksgiving only becomes thanksliving when thanksgiving to God overflows with joy. Thanksgiving is actually a leftover from a truly authentic Thanksgiving day and meal. And I'm afraid that in so many ways in today's world, we're slipping into a little bit of ingratitude and thankfulness. Children forget to thank their parents for what they do. Common courtesies seem to be forgotten. And we take for granted so many people that do things for us. And I think above all, we sometimes forget to thank God for the blessings that he gives to us. And honestly, ingratitude is a sin. It's one of throughout the scripture, it talks about gratitude and thanksgiving. So an ungrateful heart is a cold heart toward God, and so it actually becomes very, very sinful. So thanksgiving is a feast of gratitude. And as I think back to the video, some of the things they pointed out to us, if you didn't think about what to be thankful for, I'm going to suggest a couple quick things. Thank God for the material blessings that he gives you. Thank God for the people in your life. And yes, even those people who drove you crazy on Thanksgiving Day. Thank God for them. Thank God in the midst of trials and even persecution. Remember Paul, as we heard earlier, he didn't stop giving thanks. Thank God especially for his salvation in Jesus Christ. Do we pause and think about that? When we're listing our blessings on Thanksgiving, do we remember that we are promised, we are forgiven, and we're promised the gift of eternal life because of what Jesus Christ has done for every single one of us? And we can thank God for his continued presence in our life because he continues to be with us. No matter what we're journeying through, we have been promised that his spirit is with us and that we never navigate life alone. I want to close my message today with the scripture, Psalm 107, 21 through 22, which I believe summarizes all of this up. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind, and let them offer thanksgiving sacrifices and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Thanksgiving is to follow thanksgiving. So what I want you to be thinking about is, what does thanksgiving look like for you for the 364 days after Thanksgiving? Will you bow your heads in prayer? Gracious and holy God, just praise you and thank you for truly the blessings that you do give to us, God. And we're just human. And there are just times that we may not even see the blessings you give to us. We may not take the time to thank you for the ways that you bless us. We may have many other things that are just distracting us that we never pause to say thank you. God, help us to be thankful people as you would want us to be growing in our discipleship for 365 days a year. Not just for the one day that has been set aside. Fill our hearts with that thanksgiving. Fill our souls with the desire to share that thanksgiving through thanksgiving with others. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.